Chinese couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And we've got a lot to talk about this week.
We got to get down to brass tacks.
And I'm already tired. Yeah. So this could not go well.
Or it'll be
not weird. Like it ever goes.
No,
well,
it's going to be fun.
Not as if.
Because you will have no defenses, and I'll just kind of smack you around. The whole show.
It's pretty much going to be, I'm going to say something you're going to refute, and by the time it's time for me to talk again, I'm going to fall asleep.
You're already hitting the microphone and everything.
I'm just gone. Right. It's just over. But before I fall asleep and before all the shenanigans begin, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. You can catch us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You already know that. You can also get us on iTunes. You probably already know that as well. If you search Fat Guys the Movies, we pop right up. If you'd like to email us, I suspect that you don't know this one quite as well, because we don't get quite as many emails as we would like to. FatGuysAtFilmSchoolRejects.com. And finally, if you'd like to call us, apparently this is the big secret, 614-388-8735. We really yearn to hear your voice.
Do you hear us yearning? I'm yearning right now.
I'm yearning all over the show.
That's disgusting. Anywho.
Let's do a loser update.
Yeah, absolutely. Biggest reject loser. I pulled a Neil this week.
What does that mean?
That means I gained 3 pounds.
Are you saying that I'm fat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are fat. But you're less fat this at the last weigh-in than you were before, because you gained 3 pounds and then you lost it again.
Honestly,
or you just lied.
I just went to the bathroom. It all came back up.
Oh, wow.
I tried to put that as appropriately as possible.
Well, I hope you don't become a speechwriter for the president anytime soon, because
it'd be an improvement either way.
I don't know. It'd be funny. Anywho, yeah, I lost 3 pounds. Or I gained 3 pounds. You lost 3 pounds. Brian, congratulations to Brian, has been consistently melting away, and looks like he is well on his way to not play Daniel Plainview or Eli.
Yeah, he's working.
What's his name?
But I mean, the tough part about Brian is we can't verify whether or not he's lost weight, because every time we try and go see him, he's not there.
Yeah, there was a ship's passing in the night incident this week.
Yeah, and speaking of incidents, it had something to do with a movie. Shouldn't we talk about some movies?
Yes, let's talk about a movie.
That was a terrible segue.
You were thinking the Forbidden Kingdom was going to be first.
Forbidden Kingdom
want to do Forbidden Kingdom first?
Sure, why not? Let's do that first.
All right, so we'll just edit that out in post. The first one we're going to talk about is the movie that we saw and Brian didn't, because apparently he was napping. It would be The Forbidden Kingdom. Jackie Chan and Jet Li team up and kick a whole lot of butt in this kung fu action comedy.
What land do you come from, monk?
I'm not a monk. I'm Jason Tripitakis from South Boston.
You carry something very special.
This? What do we do now?
How good is your kung fu?
What?
He's got no kung fu.
Help! Help!
None.
Well, that was
That's
amazing.
Because
that, you know, in the theater of the mind of radio, people may have thought that you were doing something really cool, like the crouching crane or whatever.
The
you just
tiger.
Moved your hands. Yeah. I liked The Forbidden Kingdom.
I did too. Wow, we really suck at this.
Anyways
no, here's what I have to say about Forbidden Kingdom. It was a lot of fun. I'm really into like the stupid, silly kung fu-y stuff that happens in the middle. Like
the Hong Kong,
it just kind of
stuff.
Explodes into all these like crazy kung fu.
Somebody
like,
said to me
almost
the other
just over the top, silly, crazy kung fu stuff.
Somebody said to me earlier today, they go, that fight in the middle was just worth it alone. I'm like, which fight? Because
there's
90.
You have to go into it understanding that it's really a kids' movie.
Yeah.
It's for kids and maybe some tweens, but it's
well, not
it's
for
not
like
a
2-year-olds.
Yeah, no, it's not a kung fu epic as everyone kind of wished that it would have been with Jackie Chan, Jet Li. It's more of a Jackie Chan movie than a Jet Li movie.
And it is Jet Li goofing a lot.
It is, and I think it's good to see that he can do that and not take himself seriously. I really felt like it was kind of a cool parody overall, because they always kind of, it was almost like they were poking fun at themselves, and there were some Bruce Lee moments where they kind of, you know, the kid says, you know, like Bruce Lee, and they just kind of look at each other.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. It was almost like a parody, similar to Street Kings from last week.
Yeah.
One of the better parodies I've seen all year.
I think Street Kings was a lot more unintentional than Forbidden Kingdom. Yeah. Forbidden Kingdom is tongue-in-cheek. It is very much Jackie mm-hmm. Chan. And it's one of those movies that you watch, and it has that epic scale. It has the scenery. You know, they shoot it in the Gobi Desert.
It has Colin Chow just being angry.
Yeah, it's just got really cool stuff. But it's not like stuff like Hero or House of the Flying Daggers and all those ones that came out recently, or like The Curse of the Golden Flower, where it's just like so takes serious. It so seriously, yeah. And you're just like, oh, please come
trying
on.
Trying to be so accurate yeah. and real.
Whereas this one, it's like just when you think they're taking themselves seriously, like something goofy happens.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, you're right.
A crazy chick with big, long, white hair comes and starts beating people up with her hair.
Hilarious, awesome yeah. scene. It's sort of like a cross between The Neverending Story and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and a Three Stooges episode.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks, because I think people are going to be confused. They may think it's one thing and go and get something else. But ultimately, if you go and see it, you're going to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I'm giving it a kind of rocks, too, as much as I don't like agreeing with Neil. But I do think we're going to agree on this next one.
Yeah.
Once 88 again. Minutes. Al Pacino plays a criminal psychologist who is receiving death threats from a killer he put away 9 years ago.
Dr. Graham, as a forensic psychiatrist, will John Forrester rape and murder again?
In my professional opinion, John Forrester is a serial murderer.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree.
Of all the serial killers that I've interviewed and studied, none of them were legally insane. Excuse me.
You have 88 minutes to live.
Who's this?
TikTok.
Kevin, you have 1 minute to review this movie.
Okay, I can do it die. Even shorter than that. I'm stealing a line from Kristen Dreyer Kramer, our friend from nightsandweekends.com. Ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Poop sandwich.
Poop sandwich, she says.
She says, well, I said, I'm quoting her.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what she says. But
poop sandwich.
As Michael Scott would say, that's what she said. But I agree. It was a very frustrating experience because it's such a nominal film. It's such a mediocre. It just kills itself and succeeds all at once in its own mediocrity. Like, it's one of those thrillers that you go and you sit through it, and if you're really not thinking about it, you could get wrapped up into it to a certain extent, and you're like, oh, that was just okay. But if you really look at it, you're like, wow, this is not good at all.
Well, you know what? We were actually speaking off the air earlier about reviewing movies on how to review a movie you don't like without being too mean to it.
Yeah.
And the way you say it is, you go, if you liked this,
yeah.
then you'll like this movie. And basically, if you liked Untraceable, which came out earlier this year, and it was
Perfect Stranger,
a little poop sandwich on its own, then you're going to like 88 Minutes. It's the biggest problems with it is, first of all, it's creepy as all get out because Al Pacino is like macking on like all these like 20-something girls.
Who are all like 6'5" compared to
6'5"
five
and totally hot. I've driven through Seattle.
That's where it's set, by the way.
Yeah, which is where it's set, and let's just say that's not where all the gorgeous women go. Nothing against people in Seattle, because I got
we're
relatives
some hate
up
mail
there.
For this one,
I will. Yeah.
Well, if you have some relatives there, that means it's just going downhill.
Okay.
So.
Wow. You're mean.
I just can't say.
They kept putting twists in it that didn't need to be there, and it just they'd have these weird flashbacks, and you'd be like, it make no sense, and then they'd explain the flashback like 3 minutes later.
Yeah, I dig Al Pacino, but this just doesn't doesn't surprise me that this movie was made and done. Like a year ago, and it's just now getting released. So
I'm gonna say
full sucks.
Oh yeah, this is a full sucks.
I can't believe we're agreeing.
You
like
don't
this.
Say poop sandwich without it sucking. Just
right without being prepared to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeling the agreement, but we'll be back in a second to see if we disagree on something.
Okay, Neil, ever since you went to South by Southwest, which I was told, in the cool people call it South By.
South By, yeah.
Yeah, South By. But you went down to South by Southwest.
I got a sweatshirt.
Yeah. You went down there this past March and saw a bunch of movies.
Ate a lot of barbecue,
drank a lot of beer.
12 pounds heavier now.
Yes. And one of the movies you saw was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I think so, yeah.
And if there was anything I took away from your early reviews and discussions of it, let's just say there's a lot. You led me to believe that there was an awful lot of male anatomy in this movie. Yeah. And in fact, I actually saw a headline on Yahoo this week talking about that. I'm like, I knew that long ago. We're so way ahead of Yahoo.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, way
ahead. Yahoo's got nothing on us.
Yeah, absolutely. Neither does IMDb. We break stories early. But anyways, so I went into this movie expecting, can I say sausage fest? Is that a good way of saying? I think that's what I was expecting. And it was weird because when I was done, I'm like, you know, there wasn't as many full frontal male nudity.
Your expectations too high.
I know. I was like, I was sort of disappointed that I didn't get to see more of Jason Segel's member.
There is that one scene where not only do you see Jason Segel's
thing,
but you hear it as well, which I thought was hilarious.
Well, no, that was like, you first hear it, then you see it.
You first hear it, then you see it. So
we're talking about,
but anyways, let's introduce the clip. We got a clip.
Okay,
we're talking about Forgetting Sarah Marshall. A guy has a meltdown after breaking up with Kristen Bell. Wouldn't you? I know I would.
Everywhere I look, I'm reminded of her.
Why don't you go on a vacation?
I could go to Hawaii.
Welcome to Turtle Bay and enjoy your stay. Peter, what are you doing here?
Came here to murder you.
This is a disaster.
Go someplace else.
I'm not leaving here. It'll look like I'm running away.
Wait, why are you whispering? You're not following them, are you?
Oh, God.
Get out of there. Go to your room.
It was the only room available.
Okay, now we've talked about Jason Segel and his, which I'm impressed with him too, by the way. I mean, I give him credit.
Dude's got
game. He's got game. This also stars Kristen Bell,
who's very attractive,
and Mila Kunis, who
also very attractive.
I have to say, that just wins points in my book because both of them are just exceedingly hot and adorable, and you just want to take them home, put them in a little package, and keep them in. You know,
I think Kristen Bell would have fit in my luggage.
I think you tested that, didn't you?
No, but she was a real sweetheart though when I met her. We were
I
at
loved
a party
your picture
together.
With her.
And she looks creeped out, but
she has this look on her face like, get him away from me. The thing where you're smiling but you're talking and not letting your lips move, that's what she's doing in the picture.
But as for the movie, I saw it obviously with a festival crowd and those are always significantly more positive.
Yes.
And they absolutely love the film. I don't think everyone seeing this in their hometown theater is going to absolutely love it, but I think people are going to like it. It's an above-average Judd Apatow movie. It's a good R-rated comedy. It's worth the trip. It's funny. There's Russell Brand, I think, really steals the show. He's just way out
there. Is he the
British guy.
He's hilarious.
He is absolutely hysterical.
And he grew on me, too, because at the beginning, I'm like, this guy's kind of an idiot. Yeah. By the end, I'm like, I want more of him on screen.
Yep.
He
plays
him
a
naked.
Rock star. And the funny part about that, and I was talking to the director at this party, is he really is a rock star in Britain, and he
really
is like that. Like, that is that character is not an act. He is that guy.
Wow.
So I think I really think that people are going to be entertained, and I think it's probably one of the better comedies we've seen so far this year. I know I was really like Semi-Pro, but this one I think is a lot more accessible. And
this is better than Semi-Pro.
Funnier in your chest than Semi-Pro.
Speaking of chess, I would have liked to have seen more of Kristen Bell and
Mila
Kunis, which we had a big discussion.
Oh, no.
There is a picture. There's a snapshot of her without lifting her shirt. And there was a big discussion the critics had afterwards of whether or not that was a Photoshop.
Yeah.
Because
these are the kinds of things that we spend our time on.
This is the intellectual deep significance.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this about Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's somewhere in terms of the R-rated Judd Apatow comedies. It's somewhere between... Where like you got Walk Hard, which was halfway, and then you got Super Bad and Knocked Up, which were really, really good.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between. I think it's gonna run into some problems being R-rated because they're actually, believe it or not, it's one of those movies you could have taken a lot of the raunch out. Like you couldn't remove the raunch from Super Bad.
Yeah, no.
But you could have removed the raunch from this.
And it would have.
And you still could have done a movie, and it still would have been funny.
Yep.
So I don't know if they're going to lose audience that way. That's potential. I thought it was funny. It did have some random moments here and there.
Had the puppet Dracula.
That was awesome.
Which I thought was hilarious.
That was awesome.
Jim Henson's actually did those puppets.
Did they? Did they? That's great.
So,
and
very cool.
But it was cute. I laughed. I definitely would recommend seeing it, but unlike the studio rep who was there, who was overseeing the screening, her parents, her whole family was with her.
Right.
And afterwards she asked, what do you think that they always do to the critics? And we're like telling her what we thought. She's like, yeah, it was a little uncomfortable to sit next to my parents watching this movie. So take that for what it's worth. No, they all loved it.
Oh.
They all loved it. But no, there's things in there that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Unless it was, it'd be like you going to see 300 with your mom. Well, and just having her drool over Gerard Butler the whole time.
You get used to
it. I met your mom this
week.
Yeah,
you did.
Oh, and I got to tell something about Neil.
Oh, no.
She told us a great little story about how you were born C-section, because my first son was born C-section.
Of course, you guys are talking about, like, births.
Yeah, and she said that the doctor accidentally cut your butt.
Yeah,
you have a butt.
I'm told. I don't know.
You have a butt scar. Yeah, I haven't verified this.
There's not a whole lot of people that could verify it at this point.
Yeah, I think there's this streetwalker from down on the side of the road.
Not even
with
she saw
no
it.
Teeth.
I was kind of.
You're covered.
In and out.
Anyways, your mom. I'm taking your mom's word for it, but she's a very sweet woman.
Hi,
Neil's mom.
Hi, mom.
And that was great. And thank you for telling me about embarrassing thing about Neil.
That's fine. Whatever, man. It's not.
We're gonna have
no
a contest.
Worse than anything I saw.
Here's a contest.
Before
everybody. Draw your picture of what you think Neil's scarred butt looks like. Email it to fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And the winner, I will just pick a random DVD out of my collection and send you like The Simple Life Season 5 or something like that.
The winner is creepy. I will say that. If you win this contest, I will be blocking your name from wherever.
From wherever? From everywhere?
I will call the phone company and be like, if this guy ever calls, no, I don't want it. That's creepy. Anyways,
should we move on? Do you want to do? Let's
talk about pathology because we've got a couple minutes left, and we'll move. Where in the world is Osama bin Laden and zombie strippers?
Since pathology is a little more into the whole R-rated naked girl thing.
Yo, yeah.
Although
definitely
there were no naked girls in. But there was that one naked girl in 88 minutes, and I was impressed with her flexibility.
It was pretty impressive, but it's such a short scene. But we're talking about pathology. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes plays a doctor caught up in a murderous game with his off-kilter buddies in the morgue.
There are 6.5 million people in the city.
What we need is less of them and more of these.
To the dead.
If you could kill anyone, who would you kill?
I am interested in what Dr. Gray has to say.
Truth is, you're all full of it.
You killed him.
Maybe. The point is, how?
What is this, a game?
Exactly.
Neil.
What?
If there was anybody you'd like to kill, who would it be?
I don't know.
You know who mine would be?
It's, yeah.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
I would think that you would have Jamie Kennedy on your list.
No, I got a little bit of respect for Jamie. Carrot Top, though, I have no respect. Carrot Top's like a low rent Jamie Kennedy. That's pretty low rent.
I don't know who I'd kill. I'm not a killing type person.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
Totally.
Anyways, what do you think of pathology?
Well, here's what I thought.
I hear you've got an interesting souvenir.
I have an interesting souvenir, but we're not going to talk about that anymore. But I had the chance to go out to L.A. and see this film with the cast, and usually that buffers the review a little bit when you see it with the cast, and I was lucky enough
to... You can't throw your arms up and go, this thing sucks!
Yeah, you want to be respectful to their hard work,
because
it's a lot of work to make a film, and I was lucky enough to like be sitting next to Simon Pegg at the screening, not to drop names or anything.
Yeah.
But I think this is a film that has a very limited audience. It is not a film that I generally would go see, having known what it's about. It's a very sick and twisted movie.
To be fair, you're kind of a big pansy when
Huge
it comes
pansy.
To horror movie.
But the one thing I found was it wasn't a hard film to watch. It just wasn't a film that was overly interesting. But there was a lot about it that I think people... I really think about that guy who was first in line to see Saw 2 after being a huge fan of the first Saw. That's the guy that this movie is for. The people that just kind of like that sick and twist, they're a little bit off their rocker. There's a lot about this movie that is very twisted and very wrong. And in the end, it is the two writers, Mark Neveldine and Brian Taylor, the guys who did Crank, they have this weird sexuality about their movies.
These guys really, are wacky.
They push it. They push the envelope. And I think it's fairly well acted. The story is relatively engrossing. It's really a middle of the road flick for me. I think if you're really into sick and twisted movies.
Well, there's nakedness in it too.
There's tons of nakedness. There's actually
like women nakedness, not Peter Seagal flapping in the wind.
There's a scene in there where these two doctors, one of them is Lauren Lee Smith, they're going to consummate their relationship. And she actually takes a scalpel and runs it down her tongue and starts bleeding, and then they have sex. If that's
not
gets
sanitary.
You going, this is your movie, man.
That's so nuts. You'll catch something that way.
But otherwise, I was very right down the middle. So I'm going to give it a kind of sucks, but I think there are people out there who might like it. So give it a chance. It's worth a risk to a certain extent. So that's all I have. Now, Kevin, this is normally where we roll into some kind of argument where you are wrong and I'm right about who's going to win the box office. But we have a whole lot more movies to talk about.
We've got the limited release stuff to hit now.
Some fun ones, too. Well, yeah. Some seemingly fun ones.
Okay.
And when I say seemingly fun, we'll start with Zombie Strippers, which, as you can imagine, is a movie about strippers who turn into zombies.
The virus is based on the human X chromosome, so it stays more pure from woman to woman.
What seems to be the problem, Doc?
Believe it or not, zombies.
But what about the girls, huh? They're good girls.
They're zombies.
No. They're strippers.
They're zombie strippers.
Okay, as a fan of strippers.
a well-documented fan of strippers.
Well-documented fan of stripper. And a minor fan of zombies. I think zombie movies can be overdone, but in recent years, I think they've been more creative.
Yeah.
With stuff like 28 Days Later and Shaun of the Dead and stuff mm-hmm. like that. This is basically a zom-com. It's a zombie comedy, and it's weird because it's getting a theatrical release to a degree.
Which was really weird. I mean, we were so surprised when they sent out a note that said, hey, we're going to screen this for you. We're like... Is that a mistake?
Yeah. Well, they're opening it, obviously, at OSU, near OSU.
Yeah, which is a good choice because that's perfect theater.
Yeah. So it's – but I don't know. My take is like Pathology is going to have a very limited audience, but the audience is going to be there. It's the audience that likes trauma kind of movies. If you're familiar with trauma, that's Lloyd Kaufman's his thing where it's graphic. It's got – violence and gore and sex and nudity, but it doesn't take itself seriously. It's very tongue in cheek. And on that level, I thought it was very funny. I enjoyed it to a degree. I thought they had mm-hmm. some very humorous moments. There's tons of nudity in it. So if you haven't seen enough of Jenna Jameson on all of her other videos, you can see her naked here.
If you're not familiar with Jenna Jameson, I probably wouldn't recommend seeing this movie.
Yeah,
it's really just not for you.
But it is. It's one of those. We're going to the science fiction marathon this weekend in Columbus, which is a 24-hour science fiction movies. The crowd is crazy. They love, goofy, weird movies. This thing would just kill at the marathon. The marathon crowd would love this.
Yeah, totally. But I'll give you that.
I don't know how far it's going to translate into numbers, but again, like I said, if you like trauma movies, check this one out.
Yeah. I just honestly, I'll give you all that. I really felt
you were searching for a deeper
watching
meaning.
This film because
it's called Zombie Strippers.
It's called Zombie Strippers, but here's what I wanted it to be, and it wasn't okay. any of this. I wanted it to be a little clever. I don't feel it was clever at all.
It had a couple.
I wanted it to do something that would stand out. Really didn't do much other than show us zombie strippers,
billiard balls.
What?
Billiard balls?
Well, the billiard balls scene, Jenna Jameson does some very interesting things with billiard balls that is interesting, but she really should have taken it further. I wanted bowling balls.
Well, what was great about the billiard balls thing is we got sent from the studio a piece of swag. We got a Magic 8 Ball.
A Magic 8 Ball.
And it's funny, we got that. I'm like, what is this for? They're like, oh,
yeah,
billiard balls. And then my kids got a hold of it. My wife comes up. She's like, why are they running around with something that says zombie strippers on it? I'm like, it's a Magic 8 Ball. That's why they're kids.
You can't really explain it.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be clever, and I wanted it to do something to stand out. Really, to me, it was exactly what you would expect it to be. It was that trauma movie, and it the production quality was fairly poor. I would say the best way I can describe it is that it is like a studio porn film with no sex.
Well, see, this is the. Have you seen the trailer before this?
Yeah, and I was relatively excited. I was like, this could be cool, but
no, well, but you really saw the trailer after you knew that they were you saw the trailer after you knew that they were screening it, right?
No, beforehand.
Okay, because I've gotten several Sony videos, and it's been on Sony videos as a trailer coming soon for months. And so I was expecting it to be this straight-to-DVD kind of like old sci-fi channel movie, something like Ice Spiders that comes to DVD. That's what I was expecting, and I think that's why I thought it was okay. It was exactly what I expected.
Anyways.
Yeah, let's move on to another one we're going to disagree about. Where in the world is Osama bin Laden? Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock's new documentary about trying to find the number one terrorist in the world named Neil Miller.
Yoo-hoo! Osama!
If I've learned anything from big-budget action movies, it's that complicated global problems are best solved by one lonely guy.
Where are you going to be going?
We're going to go look for Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
If I'm going to find Osama, then I'm going to be traveling to some pretty scary places.
This course is reality-based protection.
Turn away from the grenade.
Boom!
How do I say, don't take me, take the cameraman?
How do I say, don't take me, take Kevin? in a terrorist attack situation.
Well, they would just believe you because your beard is covering your face, so you look
right. I look like one of them.
Yeah, you look like
you're
part of the Islamic
Anyways,
culture.
I'm gonna take first shot at this one because I've seen it twice now. I saw it at Sundance, and I liked it when I was there.
Ooh, I went to Sundance.
Yeah, I did. And then I saw it again at our press screening because... You know, honestly, I love to go back and refresh sometimes after seeing, 30 movies in like a week and a half. It's really tough to digest all of that with a critical mind, especially seeing it with a festival crowd because the festival crowds are just excited about everything.
Yeah.
But honestly, looking at it the second time, it's a well-made film. And if you like Morgan Spurlock's movies, you're going to like this one as well.
If you like his movie, you'll like this one.
If you like Supersize Me, you'll like this one as well. And I think it really does make its point. I know you're going to try and refute me on this one, but I think in the end it makes its point that ultimately the perception that we may think we have of people over there is not exactly the reality, which I think most of us know that anyways. But the film does a decent job of bringing that to life.
Yeah, Neil, you know my argument on this because we spent time outside the theater having a big smackdown about this. It's not that I didn't think it's a decently made film, but there's just certain things, and it's not that I hated it. It's just there are certain things that just didn't sit well with me. And like you said, it's the whole perception of what we think of the Islamic nations and blah, 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 blah. The problem with that is, and the real core to it is I don't like to be told by a filmmaker what I think. And I felt that he was doing that.
Your wife fills in.
Well, yeah, this is what your wife's for. But no, but it just seemed to be taken into saying, well, Americans believe X, Y, Z. And then he goes on to show that that's not what it is. Americans believe that all Muslims are terrorists. And my thing is, I don't think that Americans believe that. I mean, sure, there's stereotypes and prejudice that naturally creep in. But generally, I think everybody believes what he finally finds out is everyone in the world, people are people and they're nice people and all that kind of thing. And I think he would have been better off saying the media would have us believe because the media does push that. And I think I wouldn't have been upset about it. The other thing is he's sort of trying to emerge. He's never going to live down the whole you're a Michael Moore imitator.
I don't think he's an imitator.
I don't think he is, but
Michael Moore is so the hammer on everybody, whereas Morgan Spurlock.
Well, but
he's kind of a Michael Moore light.
But the whole point is he's very Michael Moore-ish in the sense he does these whimsical things, he has these jokes.
He tries to make it entertaining as well as being informative.
But all that's kind of jam-packed in the first half hour, and then it all disappears. And I didn't like that. It kind of has a cheesy ending. Right. So I mean, I didn't hate it. I mean, I'm giving it a kind of sucks. Which, by the way, I give a kind of rocks to Zombie Strippers.
But I gave Zombie Strippers a kind of sucks.
But my kind of sucks, and it's just that I think he was trying to do too many things, and he did lose a little. He had a great title, and the movie's not really about the title. You know,
I think it. I think they do an okay job of bringing it back. And I will agree with you on one thing and one thing only.
Yes,
is that in the beginning, it starts off with a fury of entertainment. There's this these cool like video game cinematics of him fighting with Osama bin Laden. There's these cool baseball cards that they use for all the terrorists to show their terrorist stats, which I thought was hilarious. And it kind of goes away towards the end of the film, and it gets a little more of a download, more of a serious thing. But I think ultimately it holds the theme throughout. And if you're really looking for a film that will at least create a discussion, because it succeeded in creating not only a discussion, but a huge argument.
Smackdown, I think, is what we could call it.
This film,
even the press rep was arguing in there too.
So I'm giving it a rocks. I'm sticking to it. Totally rocks.
That's cool.
But that's my opinion.
Let's move on to talk about the box office.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
What do you think's going to win? Well, let's first look at last week's box office. Let's blow through this real quick. Prom Night did really well.
Yeah, Disco Style.
Did very well, yeah. Did much better than anyone thought it would. And
thankfully, Street Kings didn't win the week.
Street Kings kind of tanked.
Influence just pushed it back. That was a terrible flick.
It didn't do well. And Smart People did okay for
Smart People
for
did pretty well for only being in 1,000 theaters. And it finished number 7, which was... not too bad. It beat The Ruins in The Ruins second week. So,
well, and then the rest of them, everything else kind of scattered through, ran down what we'd had recently. Yeah. So, but this week, what do you think is going to win?
I think there's a few major releases out. I think.
Well, there are. Yeah.
Well, obviously, I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is going to win the weekend because the marketing has just been ridiculous for that film. The viral marketing that they've done has been awesome. I think Universal has out-marketed The Forbidden Kingdom, even though The Forbidden Kingdom is going to come in and take a huge chunk with the family audience.
I think it's going to be a horse race. I think 88 Minutes is going to be third or less. Yeah. I think 88 Minutes stands to be like Street Kings. It's going to just
blow. And now there's a lot of bad press going on around 88 Minutes being ranked on Metacritic as like one of the three worst movies of all time.
Well, that's accurate.
It's getting killed by critics, which it absolutely deserves. It
should. Yeah.
And I think it's just, I think 88 Minutes is dead in the water.
Yeah. I think that there's going to be a horse race between Forbidden Kingdom and Forgetting Sarah Marshall for two. And it's like, I don't know. It's a real coin toss. If I were to say, I'd say Forbidden Kingdom simply because R-rated movies haven't been doing well as of late.
Right.
So that's going to really cut into Sarah Marshall. Forbidden Kingdom, I don't think is as broad of an appeal, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in more theaters and it does hit a family audience. And, you know, with the only other things you've gotten, kind of like you can take kids to, are like 21 and Nims, not 21, Nims Island and The Ruins. Horton Hears Who. So if I had to choose, I'd choose Forbidden Kingdom, but I really think they're going to be separated by $1 million.
You're just a silly man and that you're wrong. I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Forbidden Kingdom, Prom Night, and that's what's going to happen. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I really think is going to capture it. At least in its first weekend, the Superbad audience. Then when people go out and realize that it's not necessarily as good as Superbad, word of mouth isn't going to die.
But plus, the other one is because Walk Hard had so much behind it, and it just tanked so bad.
I think this one it has a better vibe. Dark Horse of the Week, though, is Iron Man.
What, the trailer that they're going to make into a movie?
The trailer for Iron Man.
I watched that Onion thing. That's hilarious. But they're like, they're going to make it into a feature film, and Gwyneth Paltrow, they loved her 0.3 seconds.
You loved her 0.3 seconds.
I hate her.
But speaking of 0.3 seconds, we're going to add a couple of those together and go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Kevin, as always, over the last couple weeks, we brought this back, and I believe we have another top 10 list.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Would you like to share that with us?
Oh yeah, I guess we do have
your
that.
Top 10 list, dude. I didn't do anything for this one. Although I think it's one of the better ones that you've come up with in the last 2 weeks.
It's better than last week's.
Yeah,
last week was a great top 10 list. It just too many people agreed with it.
Yeah, that's the problem. This week there is some controversy abound when we talk about urination.
Yeah, and it makes no sense as to why we're talking about it.
Nope.
But you have to know that in The Forbidden Kingdom, there's a really interesting urination scene. which
it involves. Can I say who pees on who? Because that's
I guess
the
if you want
part.
To.
That's
this is a spoiler. Yeah,
this will make people want to go see the movie. Jet Li pees on Jackie Chan,
and it's not a pretty situation.
It is hilarious. it's one of those we mentioned in when we reviewed the film. It's one of those moments in the movie that really otherwise doesn't fit. But it totally works.
It's hysterical. We're sitting there watching the screening, and it happens. And then, like, there's, like, this 30-second pause. They go into the next scene, and there's a kid behind us. Like, I'm talking like a four-year-old little boy. And he's a couple seats behind. And then suddenly, he just starts cracking up. Like, 30 seconds later, it's just like he was just like, just I can't believe I saw what happened. Now I think it's funny. So it shocked a four-year-old. Nice. So anyways, because of that, it has inspired me, because it has a new meaning to the word, to the term urine movies. This is the top 10 urination scenes in movie history.
We've gone low before. This is pretty low.
Yes. Well, number 10, The Forbidden Kingdom. You just have to mention that.
Sure.
Number 9, it's not terribly entertaining, but it's more just sort of fascinating. The Aviator, where Leo, who plays Howard Hughes?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well,
everyone
knows who Leo is.
Whatever.
Oh my god. Even though Howard Hughes is known for doing some cool things, his dementia consumed him, and he would pee in a jar. He'd keep all his urine.
Right.
And
I keep mine.
Yeah.
I store it at your house.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't
You'll
apple juice,
it.
Is what
nope,
you're saying?
Not apple juice.
Oh, this is a good. I got a great story though.
Oh no.
This happened to my dad when he was younger. They were him and his family were in a parking lot, and they see this woman doubled over her steering wheel, and they come over and they're like, "Are you okay?" And then she opens the door and she's down, rolls down her window, and she's laughing hysterically. And what it was is she said, "Well, her car was broken into, and they took whatever was on the front seat." And she said, "Well, she had to stop at the doctor's office a little bit later, and he wanted a urine sample. So she had the only thing she had was a used liquor bottle, and so she had used that, and they had stolen it. So
they got theirs.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just one of those. That's karma coming back. It was a Dumb and Dumber. There's another one I missed. There's a lot of one. You're gonna listen.
You missed. I will admit that.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber with oh God, what's his name? The guy from
Daniels?
No. The
I don't remember the scene.
He was in something about Mary. He was the chipmunk guy, the serial killer.
I don't know. We're wasting air time.
It's the internet segment. All right. Number 8, this is a tie. History of the World Part 1 and Major League. They're very similar scenes in which Mel Brooks depicts the first art critic in the world who urinates all over the painting. And in Major League, Lou Brown shows his disapproval of Roger Dorn's prima donna contract by throwing it on the ground and peeing on it.
Yes.
Then number 7, another tie. Fight Club and the War of the Roses. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, if you're going to a restaurant where Tyler Durden works, don't get the lobster bisque. And if you're having dinner at Kathleen Turner's house, don't have the fish. Let me just say that. Number 6 is The Exorcist. It's, of course, the scene where they're having the dinner party, and the astronaut's going to go up, and she walks down. She's like, "You're going to die up there. Pee on the floor."
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Then there's number 5, Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. Did you ever see this movie?
Nope.
Christopher Lambert plays Tarzan, and it's a real stuffy sort of take on it. But, you know, really, Tarzan was a pulp novel. It's actually pretty good if you read it. Mm-hmm. But they made a very stuffy movie, except for at one scene, Tarzan pees on another ape to get back at him.
Cool.
Which is hilarious.
Totally normal.
Number 4, Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad. It's when Leslie Nielsen still has his microphone clipped to himself, and he goes in the bathroom during a press conference and just completely evacuates pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything.
Nice.
Number 3, speaking of evacuations, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
That's a pretty significant one.
All
pretty
I have to fun. Say...
I will say.
Evacuation complete. Number 2. Now, this one is a little bit of a cheat, but it had to be in there.
So weird.
Team America, World Police, the puppet sex scene was not in the original theatrical cut, but in the unrated DVD.
Right.
Not only do the puppets have sex every which way but Sunday, they also pee on each other. They poop on each other, too. Actually, I think he pees on her and she poops on him. Just to get things straight.
I mean, that's how it normally goes.
Yes. that's what I do.
Sure.
That's how I start my dates in college.
That's generally how I start my morning.
You just grab some random woman and you pee on her?
Yep. There's usually one around here somewhere.
Okay. Chained in the basement like Kristen Bell.
It's a magical studio in the sky, man. All kinds of crazy stuff happens.
The number one scene has to be Troll 2. Now, a few people have seen
not Troll
this.
1. Troll 2.
No, not Troll 1, which I told you. Troll 1, you know who the main character in Troll 1 is?
Willow.
Harry Potter. Willow?
I thought Willow was in Troll.
No, oh, Harry Leprechaun. Potter. Leprechaun.
Oh, I'm
what
terrible at this.
Willow, his name I was Harry Potter. Movies. It was a fantasy movie about Harry Potter becoming a wizard.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually true.
J.K. Rowling stole it from Troll.
Stole it from Charles Band.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah.
I'll go in court.
She's
cry
in New York now. Cry, yeah. Yeah. Beat that woman
and
down.
Be mad about Troll getting plagiarized.
Bitch slap. J.K. Rowling.
Anyways.
There is no urine. Is there any urinating scene in any Harry Potter movie so far?
I don't think so.
All right, Troll 2.
It'd be magical, though.
It'd be magical pee.
Yeah,
they spend a lot of time in bathrooms, though.
They do.
But anyways, Troll 2, his family's going to eat food that's been invested by the goblins from Nilbog, which is goblin spelled backwards. And to stop his family from eating it, his brilliant decision is to pee over everything.
Yeah.
Which I tried that once, and I did succeed in having... No, no, I succeeded in having nobody eat anything.
Yeah.
Except for that. I had
what was the quote... You can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it. That's the line that his dad uses after he finds it out. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it.
The honorable mention, Strange Brew, Bob and Doug McKenzie. Although we don't see it, you can only imagine how Bob McKenzie puts out the fire after drinking a whole vat of beer.
True story.
And then True Lies, otherwise respectable Bill Paxton shows his true machismo when he's threatened by Arnold. And it's great. He has the best line. He goes, "Would a real spy piss himself?" Awesome. But there's some of the readers at Phil Sewell Regis, they picked some great ones up. There's of course League of Our Own when Tom Hanks pees for like 30 seconds.
That one didn't.
There's Transformers, yeah.
And someone called me out. The best one is the comment was Neil Miller's list, number one Transformers, Bumblebee urinating liquid on John Turturro.
Yes.
And then later on down there, someone said...
I said this.
I said, hell yeah. I thought that really brought the entire movie together. And then Kevin said, Neil wishes he could be John Turturro. And at that point, I decided that you were taking it too far.
Whiny. Whiny little bitch.
So,
anyways, but there's also... There's some other... There was a Red Dawn scene of Stifler from American Pie 2.
Right.
There's...
Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Yeah, and of course, I point out that I would be happy to, along with Malin Ackerman, recreate the jellyfish scene from The Heartbreak Kid.
Sure.
So
you want Malin Ackerman to pee on you.
What's terrifying... If that's the only way you can get it...
You know. And all of these are, of course... Not made possible without R. Kelly.
Yes, they're the R. Kelly. This is the R. Kelly
list. Which
was
the funniest thing about the whole Forbidden Kingdom experience, because we're sitting there, and the pee scene happens, and I lean over and I go, "Did this just turn into an R. Kelly video?" And Kevin just loses it.
They
should not let us into movie screenings.
The other movie that had a lie like that, that had one of the critics say something that made me laugh really hard. I can say this in the internet only segment is in Zombie Strippers. It's near the end, and Armageddon's coming down, and the zombie strippers are taking over. And the guy says to his girlfriend, because you know they're Mormon
totally
or something
religious,
like that. Yeah,
like
they're
crazy religious.
Yeah, they won't have sex. He's like, well, can I have a blowjob, a hand job? A rim job? And she's like, no. And Jason Zingali from Bullseye sitting next to me, and he blurts out, he goes, "That's the order?" Which
that
is great, because I'm like, wow, he saved the best for last. Is like, well, you know, you said no to the hand job, so I guess a rim job should be
right.
Fine. Can you snowball me? You know.
Exactly.
Anywho's. That's our list. If you think of other ones, go to Film School Rejects, go to the list section at the bottom of the page, you'll find it, and let us know what you think the greatest peeing scene in the history of movies.
I laughed.
Wasn't there a big one in Casablanca?
Maybe. I don't remember.
That's why I was making this list. I'm like,
so
everything's
right
from
now.
The 70s and beyond.
Well, and
I guess they didn't pee in
it's
movies.
It's like there's a pee scene in just about every movie in the modern era.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because there were a lot I was coming up with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like the Billy Madison.
There's one in like Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Where the kid, he's arresting the kid turns around, pees all over, and he crossed.
Well, there's the one, and even somebody mentioned this on Film School Rejects, the Billy Madison where the kid pees his pants during a field trip.
Yeah,
and
that
he
is
splashes,
pretty funny.
And all the kids come in, he's like, "It's the coolest. Everyone pees their pants." And the bus driver says, "If peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis."
And he's like, "That is gross."
He's like, "That is the grossest thing I've ever heard."
Yeah. So what is? Oh, it's time to do a little sound off. I've got a couple topics.
Real quick.
That we'll run through real quick. First of all, they announced the title of the new X-Files movie. It's called The X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Do you know what that's a reference to?
It's a reference to the show. That's in the show, and Mulder is...
It's a poster that Mulder had in his office. It says, I Want to Believe. It was there from the first episode.
Sure. And
it was. You're really, saying it like, yeah, whatever. Go pee on Malin Ackerman.
And it caused debate on the website. Because it's to somebody who's not a fan, it just looks like a cheesy title.
Yeah.
But to real X-Files fans, it means a lot. So there you go.
It could have been called Mulder Pees on Scully.
It could
Or Scully Pees on Mulder, which, you know, however you swing on that.
Right. I don't even know what we're talking about now.
The 140-minute running time of
Indiana Jones is going to clock in at about 140 minutes.
But that's okay. It's
no big deal.
You know, if it was like a lighthearted comedy, then those you don't want
right.
to be.
The Dark Knight is allegedly clocking in at 165 minutes.
Is that a final cut?
No, but right now the cut that Christopher Nolan wants, I'm told, is 165 minutes, which I can sit through 3 hours of The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
I will sit through 8 hours of it if they make one.
Well, Transformers was 2.5 hours. Or
yeah,
something like
it's
that.
These big summer movies, I think it's okay that they're a little bit longer. I think Iron Man... from what I hear, is going to be a little shorter.
Iron Man's like
around
100 like,
minutes.
I looked it up because I actually referenced it, and I think it's like 110 minutes. It's like right around.
Because there's really just not a whole lot there, but movies like Indiana Jones, Dark Knight, that have a huge fan base that are very invested, we're okay with seeing a little bit more. And the last thing I have is Rachel Nichols.
I want her.
Looking very hot as Scarlett in G.I. Joe. Paramount Pictures sent us over this picture today. It was on a couple other websites earlier in the week, but today we got the full high-res tight leather version of it.
If you're a big Rachel Nichols fan, I'm going to recommend the best DVD to check out is Alias Season 5.
Really? She's
because
big time?
Well, they bring
I need
her
a
in,
new TV show to start. That's why I bought
Alias.
It
watch Alias. Well, Alias is an awesome TV show.
I know.
But in Season 5, you know, Jennifer Garner gets pregnant in real life and goes and have her baby with Ben Affleck. And
Rachel Nichols takes over.
And they're like, because that show's completely built around Jennifer Garner's character. And so they had to bring somebody in to kind of be the sexy spy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't watched Alias, it is like the Jennifer Garner fantasy because she's always in some sexy outfit. She dresses up as
I've
like,
noticed that. And I used to watch the commercials a lot.
Yeah. And I'm okay with Jennifer Garner, but Rachel Nichols.
She's a lot hotter
just,
before that Ben Affleck guy got with her.
I pretty much like Jennifer Garner in Alias and nothing else.
Okay. Fair enough. I like her in The Kingdom.
What?
I liked her in the Kingdom.
Oh, The Kingdom. But she cares? She could have.
We're not talking to you
whatever.
Anymore.
Whatever. You're
cool. So the picture's out there. I will say this about G.I. Joe. Not excited about Channing Tatum. I don't think he's that good of an, especially after seeing Stop Loss.
Not after Stop Loss. He has,
you know,
he's
and
got
he plays
sort of,
the lead.
He's like the Josh Hartnett school of constipation looks.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not excited about him. I'm not excited about Sienna Miller.
Ray Park.
But I am excited about Ray Park. I'm excited about Rachel Nichols. I'm excited about these two major cast photos that we've seen so far. Otherwise, I'm just not interested.
Can I throw something in about running times, about how they trim movies down?
Sure.
The Weinsteins, apparently, I would imagine it's the Weinsteins who did this, mandated that they probably asked Spurlock to trim down a little bit Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, they did cut a few scenes. It felt like, I don't know exactly, it felt like they cut the end a little bit, and it got a little choppy from the original cut that I saw at Sundance. But they cut it down to cut out. I think there was a little nudity in the end.
Yeah,
with his wife having the baby.
Well, yeah, that's the thing because it starts off with his wife, or I don't know if it's his wife or if it's
wife,
his girlfriend, whatever.
I don't know.
Getting find out she's pregnant, and then through this whole thing, and it ends with them having birth. That's not a spoiler because it would be a really really depressing movie
if
like they
lost.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But so it comes and she has a water birth. Which entails, if you don't know anything about water births,
oh, no.
It's
here
like the woman gets in water and it's supposed to be a nicer environment for the baby. But you know what? The baby gets squeezed out of a very small area like an 8-ball.
Depending on who's having the baby.
Yeah, well, and then they're like, oh, well, then it comes out into water. And I'm like, you still got to take the baby out of water at some point.
Right.
You know, it's going to be shocking and awful and horrible for the kid. But that's okay. It's a kid. It's resilient. But so
it's going to get so much more screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's way more that can go wrong than the birth. And so the woman's in the water and then he's in the water with her. You know, a lot of times the husband will get in there with her or a doula or something like that. You don't even know what that is. I'm not even going to go and explain that because that's all you find out if you ever have kids.
Yeah.
But I said afterwards, and I even said this to my wife. I said, no way would I ever get in that water because the baby's not the only thing that comes out.
Can we move on?
Yes, we can move on.
You've successfully killed my will to live right now.
Good.
With the baby stories.
Can we move on? We'll move on. We'll go to break.
This is why I have not been present for the births of any of my children.
Well, yeah, it's because you don't know about it.
That's because I don't know that they
exist. They're like Tijuana hookers.
That's the way I like it.
That's right.
I don't care how it happens. I don't want to pay for it.
You know, if you're going around seeding this many women and you have that many illegitimate children, at some point you're going to statistically sleep with your own daughter.
All right, we really need to take a break. We'll be right back to get you guys closed up and get you out of here. It's time to wrap you up here on Fat Guys News. I feel very well. First of all, I feel very uncomfortable after that last segment.
Yeah, if you care or if you're at all scared, do not go back and listen.
Yeah,
because it involves a lot of bodily fluids.
Yeah,
it does. That's very true.
And somehow it leads down the most wrong road you can go.
And I think we talk about most of the bodily, except vomit. That's the only thing we don't talk about.
Yeah, it does.
But we talked about it now. And speaking of vomit, let's talk about DVDs because there's a great stinker of the week.
Yes, good vomit movie at the end. But we'll start with one that will not make you vomit, but there is some vomiting of blue slushies.
That's
in the movie.
True.
The film is Juno. If you haven't heard of this film, you really, 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 really need to like run into the wall.
If you haven't heard of this film,
run your head into the wall like 10 times straight.
If you haven't heard of this film, Neil is going to come over to your house and punch you in the face.
There's something absolutely wrong with you.
Yes.
Juno, by far the sensation of the year last year, the indie that could made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, 140.
It's got. I will say about this about the DVD. I picked up the Blu-ray today, and it's got a lot of special features. I'm very excited about.
Does it have
all
more?
The behind the scenes stuff? It's got a ton. You got to go buy the 2-disc edition. The 1-disc doesn't have a whole lot, but yeah, it's right there. It's got a ton of special features. And what's really cool is if you buy the Blu-ray or the 2-disc, it comes with a digital copy, which is something that Fox has started to do, where it comes with a second disc where there's a downloadable video file that you can put on your iPod. Mm-hmm. So it comes with the iPod version of the movie so that you don't have to buy it off of iTunes as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is very cool for someone like me that likes to have movies on their iPod. You know, instead of having to rip it off the DVD onto your computer and put it on your iPod or buy it from iTunes and then put it on your iPod, it's very cool to have that second copy. So I think that's very cool that Fox has started to do that. I think one of the better DVD releases, it's right up there.
Fox is doing that with a lot of.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Cloverfield next week. It's one of my favorite DVD releases, but.
Well, the special features...
not only my favorite movie, but great DVD.
And I'll say this because I had a chance to check out the special features, and they have a couple more on the Blu-ray. I don't know if the double disc standard...
The double disc and the Blu-ray have about the same.
Yeah, and the single disc edition is missing just a couple of these features, but not much. I mean, most of the stuff's on there. It does get a little self-congratulatory, which you have to, because there's really no special effects in this. You know, it's all about the writing and the acting. So you do get a little bit of like, oh my god, Diablo Cody's
so
the
awesome.
Awesomest, because they have segments. Literally, it's called like one of them is called, it's like Jason Reitman for shiz, and there's also Diablo Cody is totally boss featurette. So,
sure.
I mean, they try and keep away from it as much as they can, but.
Mm-hmm.
They do okay.
But
it's definitely worth
special effects, since you mentioned that.
Ah, yes. My pick of the week, Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
I almost bought this at the store on Blu-ray.
Alien versus Predator. That's actually would be a cool Blu-ray.
But I didn't want to spend the extra money. I would have ended up spending like $150 at Best Buy today, and that's just not good news.
But I'd suggest it for Blu-ray, even though I don't have a Blu-ray player, it is a movie that you want to watch. As weird as that sounds, there's not a whole lot to Alien versus Predator. It's Aliens.
They were actually
Predators.
Selling Alien versus Predator 1 and 2 in the same box for like $50
for Blu-ray.
For Blu-ray,
oh heck yeah,
with tons of special.
Because that's what's so cool about it, and really the special features on this are really neat because it's all about how they made the Predator
the
and how they made the Predalien and all that kind of thing.
I got a Predator mask.
Yes, that's pretty cool. And they actually have there is one. They take a mask off a wall that looks just like your mask, which is cool.
It's pretty cool.
But there's also a really neat feature in it where they have a little icon. You can turn it on, and the icon will come on whenever there's a deleted scene or a deleted clip.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool when you were telling me about it.
Yeah, and even to the point that like if it's just like the last couple frames of a of a shot, it'll go blip, and you'll be like, oh, that wasn't
makes
in the
so
original.
Much easier for the guy having to review the DVD.
Yeah, to sit there and say, that's new. That's
thank
new.
You, Fox.
Yeah.
So, stinker of the week. This one should be
leave
obvious.
Leave Uwe Boll alone.
You're so terrible. If you really don't know what it is by now, it's Uwe Boll's In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege tale.
There have only been a couple poop sandwich movies this year.
Yeah. I actually, it was funny
because
this is
one of them. And two of them star...
Jason Statham?
No, two of them star Lily Sobieski.
Well, the funny part is I was actually talking to a friend outside of a movie that we went to see earlier tonight, and he said, yeah, that In the Name of the King, such a great cast. Terrible movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I just laughed. It was funny. I was like, you know that it's directed by Uwe Boll. He's like, who's Uwe Boll? I was like, just
oh,
go
if you don't
on
know
the
who
internet
Uwe Boll is, yeah.
Search.
Say, type in Google, Uwe Boll sucks, and you will see.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kevin's face comes right up. And then type in defend Uwe Boll, and you get a pretty interesting video. That video is actually starting to make its rounds.
Oh,
Peter
is it?
At Slash Film really liked it.
Oh, that's great.
So
let's do the review wrap-up.
Cool, yeah. Let's round it up. We'll start with the doozy of the week, 88 minutes.
That one totally sucks.
I'm with you, totally sucks. Well, no, I think I said kind of sucks.
I think you
maybe
said,
totally
I think
sucks.
You said
I don't
totally
know.
Sucks. We agreed on
sucks,
both of these.
Sucks either way. Forbidden Kingdom, starring Jackie Chan, Jet Li.
Kind of rocks.
And kind of rocks. And moving on to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I said it kind of rocks.
And I said it kind of rocks as well.
Oh, this sucks. Pathology was our second to last film. I was the only one who saw it. Like, one of the only people in America who saw it, unfortunately. And I said it kind of sucks. But, once again, I prefaced that with,
for the right
it's
crowd.
Just not for me. So, and then Zombie right. Strippers, we disagree.
Kind of rocks.
I say it kind of sucks. So there you have it.
And then Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden?
Oh,
I said kind of sucked, and you said kind of rocks.
I said totally rocks. I liked it a lot.
Oh, you did it totally
yep.
rocks.
Yep. And then moving on to next week, we've got Baby Mama. We've got Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay. We've also got Deception, among other random shenanigans that will happen. If you'd like to find us, hit us at fatguys@themovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can give us an email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And you can give us a call, 614-388-8735. And if you're in Columbus, starting, well...
You're probably going on when you hear this. Yeah.
You won't catch it. But starting next week, catch us on the morning show on CD 101, 101.1, every Friday morning. We gotta be on point. We can't fuck around.